Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is Goddess Seek Wisdom, along with my co-host, Empress Conspiracy. How you doing today, sis?
Greetings, sister. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Let's see here. We want to start off with our libations before we get into this topic today?
We shall. All righty.
And we also have Mammy Sarood on the line with me as well.
Greetings, hello. Queen.
Hello, greetings.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm well. Wonderful. All right. We come today to pay homage to our ancestors, to the powerful queens who have come before us, who have paved the way for the great things in which we've accomplished and will accomplish. Pour out today for Sister Betty Shabazz, Mayotte.
Mayotte. Coretta Scott King.
Mayotte. Return of Truth.
Ashe.
Mayotte.
Marie Laveau.
Mayotte.
My great grandmother, medicine woman. Mayotte.
Mayotte. Grandmother Charity.
Mayotte.
Ernestine Lott.
Mayotte. Grandma Fisher.
Mayotte.
And the medicine woman, my grandmother, Grandma Thorne.
Mayotte. To all the great queens who come before us and all the great queens who come through us,
Mayotte. All right, let's see here. Today we have some special queens who we will introduce momentarily as part of our roundtable discussion on the topic of what role does a black woman have in spiritual evolution. So we already have Sister Empress Conspiracy on the line, myself, and we're going to bring on area code 206. I think that is Lady Phoenix.
That is right.
How are you?
Lady Phoenix, peace, everybody.
Greetings,
hey,
Queen.
Phoenix.
Phoenix is here. Yes, ma'am. I am so happy to be here with my sisters, my divine vocals at that.
Let me check 706. Is that Atlanta? No. Is it?
I think it is. 706.
I think it's 770 and 678 that's Atlanta, but I will check it and see if that's one of the queens.
Yeah, that's 678
is Atlanta. 706.
Yes, my sister.
I knew it. I knew it.
I'm a mama.
Yeah. All right.
How are you?
I am my sister there.
I am absolutely blessed to be amongst all these powerful women. Thank you. Yes. All right. Lady Phoenix, I'm happy to hear your voice.
I'm happy to hear your voice. It's been a long time since I spoke with all of you on the radio, huh?
Mm-hmm. This is true. This is good.
Highly auspicious. Beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to start off with a quote.
Okay.
No Nation, before I do, if there are callers on the line that, because I invited quite a few people to participate with the round table. If you're one of those people, could you press 1 on your phone so that you can show up on the switchboard? If you don't press 1, I won't be able to see you on the switchboard. Also, later on, if you have a question or a comment during the show, press 1 so that I will see you on the switchboard. Let's see, the quote, no nation can rise higher than its women. And that was Elijah Muhammad. If it is indeed true that no nation can rise higher than its women, then we are in trouble unless there is a radical change. Currently, African people in general are oppressed, but the African woman gets a double dose of this oppression or mistreatment due to patriarchal and misogynistic society. The nature of the divine feminine has been suppressed, and it is past time for us to do what is necessary to take hold of our sisters and our children. As we do this, we as African people come into Mayotte, which is balance. Another quote, humanity consists of two wings, the masculine and the feminine, the male and the female. So long as these two wings are not equivalent in strength, the bird will not fly. All right, so that takes us into our discussion, and I have a question, but before I put the first question on the floor, I have a comment that led me up to this question. In my research and studies, it has always been the women that have been in tune with nature as oracles, shamans, and therefore a bit more spiritual attuned than the men, being that the thing that separates us from men is that we are creators of life. It has been said that feminism has misled black women to be more masculine and so-called independent. Some of us are too masculine and hate our wombs, and others are weak and or don't know how to stand up for themselves or their children. I think in order for us to spiritually evolve, we need balance. Is this true, and where is the balance for the black woman?
That's the question?
Yep. Is this true, and where is the balance for the black woman?
You know, when you said you made the comment, okay, so read that. I was caught up in that last part again. I'm sorry. One more
question,
time.
I'm sorry. I should have separated. The question after all that was, is this true that in order to spiritually evolve, we need balance? And where is the balance for the black woman?
Oh, that's the easy one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
The balance is within. This is Saru talking. The balance is within. So because we are already exhibiting our feminine side and our association with those things that we deem to be feminine, we also, too, are being told that we are experiencing our male side as well. So I think that the balance is already recognized if we really look at we're working both sides very well. And so this is a part of our daily lives. So in that balance that we can just go ahead and claim, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead and claim that balance within ourselves, then we are able to make sure that balance is a practical application in our lives. And then we collectively determine what that practical application is that promotes us spiritually in terms of evolvement, upliftment.
Okay. Wow, definitely agree with that comment.
I don't want to talk over anybody, so I'm just waiting for you to call out names.
Okay, well, Lady Phoenix. Lady Phoenix.
So what I would like to say, and I love my sisters. Y'all know I do. The balance, you know, for me, it always starts with the womb. Everything for me starts, it really does start with the womb. And the reason I say that is because we have so many different energies that are entering our body. Everything that I talk from is definitely from a spiritual energetic aspect. If you have the centrifugal energy coming down from the heavens, you know, and then you have the centripetal force coming up from the planet Mother Earth that spirals up into the womb. As a woman, you've got to know how to handle these different energies and balance them out. In other words, for example, for those of you that are familiar with empaths, you know, as an empath, you have to understand how to separate your energy from somebody else's energy. Mm-hmm. And so likewise, it applies for those of us as women, when we have the energy coming into the womb, you got to be able to separate the different type of spirits, the different type of energies, you know, whether it's, you know, just the pure energy from nature itself, whether it's the new energies that the Mother Earth is trying to bring into to assist, you know, human evolution. However, if you yourself have not dealt with certain things that have, you know, hurt you, or whatever it may be, whatever has thrown you off guard, you're not going to be able to be balanced. You got to first balance out what happened in the womb first, clear that stagnant energy, and then you're straight. And then that way, when it comes up, you can direct it accordingly.
Ashe.
Indeed. Ashe. I like all that energy coming up.
I was reading a book. Let me get y'all the correct title, Holistic Parenting from the Pan-African Perspective. And it actually talks about conception and how balance in the womb happens prior to conception.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and how we as women have to not only be particular in our choice of mates, but also particular in our time in which we conceive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can form that into a question. I guess what I'm asking is how does one, and it goes beyond just knowing thyself, but how does one in tune themselves with their mate in order to make sure that the child in which you plan to carry or are conceiving is balanced as well?
Before we get into that part, do you have a response in reference to where is the balance for the black woman? Or do you just agree with everything that's been stated?
I don't refute anything that was said. I agree with that.
What Diva Mama got to say? I want to hear her wisdom come forth. Let her wisdom come forth.
I'm gonna come back to you with that question, sis. So please write it down, because that's an important question. But I don't want us to, you know, get too far away from that first question there. Diva Mama, could you, bless us with some wisdom on that? Where's the balance for the black woman?
Well, as my sisters before me said, and first, before I even answer the question, love to you all. Give thanks for you. I appreciate and honor the work that you are all doing, that we are all doing. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We honor you too. So.
Okay. That feels good in my womb heart. Okay. Yes, the balance does begin within, of course, but I want to go to another place. Where you spoke about the feminist movement in regards to the black woman. As I look back on the story of our African queens and the Amazons and the matriarchs that existed, there was a strength and a power that these women carried that possibly today could be considered feministic.
Yes.
Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
Sojourner Truth.
Yes.
Bringing it up into more of a, in quote, modern time. Rosa Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And from my understanding, the feminist movement was a movement where, in order for it to happen the way it happened, that there was study of the powerful black women that existed that gave the strength. Now, you know, this is hearsay, okay? I didn't read this in print. This is hearsay that Gloria Steinem was inspired by the Harriet Tubmans and the Sojourner Truths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when I look at it and I see the feminist movement, if you will, as it is or had been in the 70s, it was a cry for help, and it was a cry for freedom. It was a cry to come out of the gilded cage, whereas I did not see us as women necessarily within that gilded cage, because even within the household structure, it was primarily the grandmothers that were in our homes that, you know, said things to us, and it was respected and followed.
Right.
It was a lot. The women, there were men who brought their money home. They brought their paycheck home, and they gave it to the wife, and she doled out the money. She took care of all the bills and everything. So there was an energy that we carried with us for many, many centuries, you know. And then, of course, there was that time of enslavement where even then there was still the protection where we could protect that we did for our men and for our children, which could also be considered a feminist gesture or a feminist act. Things had gotten out of balance. I don't see it so much as burning the bra, but I do understand that energy. I feel that the information and the knowledge that is coming forth to us through books or through downloads, through the feelings and the energy that we hear from our ancestral mothers, that when we take that and really make what feels good to us, like I had said last time when we were on the phone about the sponge, you know, we're sponges, so we may absorb a lot of water, but then we have to squeeze out and hold that which is true for us. Okay? We as women and as black women hold a lot of knowledge inside that we have given away. We've given away our power by not acknowledging the true nature of who we are, without caustic, unloving communication or frequencies, if you will. That I hear is the new catchphrase for us. You know, to operate on different frequencies. So, yes, the balance does begin within, and yes, we, if you look at it, were the original feminists, but in a different perspective.
I like that.
Right. Mm. Very true.
All right.
And I always question the anger towards feminism. This is rude, because I wonder, is the anger associated with the gains of women?
Hmm.
Mm.
Wow.
I think that's very much so what the situation is.
Divide,
you know, hunger. Yeah. And I was watching a video on YouTube which prompted me to include that feminism statement in the comment/question that I started the show out with. It was a show saying it was a video saying feminism is a joke, that black men never had enough power to oppress black women, so that, in other words, feminism was what the white women did in order to get the black women to kind of sort of succumb to what they were trying to do to make us think that we needed to be feminists. And some of the comments the sister was making in the video, I was like, I don't know if you've done all your research, but some of her comments were a little bit true, but not those ones in particular that I just stated.
Mm.
So
feminism had nothing to do with us. That movement, the feminist movement, had absolutely nothing to do with the black woman. It had everything to do with bored white women.
Well,
they had a black feminist that don't think like that.
They had nothing to do with us at all. Our movement had absolutely nothing to do with, you know, the things in which white women were dealing with. They were bored and felt oppressed by their husbands. We, on the other hand, were not only oppressed by their husbands, them, but our men as well. So our movement was completely different and should have been separated from them altogether.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
But it, you know, we can't change the past.
Indeed.
So
what was the question you had, Sister? What was your question you had, Empress, in reference to how does one get balance with a mate in order to create a balanced child? Was that your question?
Right.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
I guess I'll start off with that one, with my little bit of tidbit on that. I think, like, I'm in a situation where I am the fact, you know, getting to know my divine feminine in me, and I'm doing the work on myself. I'm not even concerned about, you know, a man or a brother or anything right now. So once I evolve into what I want to be and what my full potential is, where I feel I'm very near that or at that right now, if you have two individuals that come together and they're both, they both know themselves and they are both evolved in terms of their spirituality, I think when those two individuals come together, they come together for the right reason, then that is what creates a balanced child, you know, in layman's terms. That's what will create a balanced child. And I'm pretty sure the sisters have more to add to that.
Mm.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Who was that?
That's Phoenix. I don't know who's talking either, so.
Okay, I'm going to call a name since there's quite a few of us on here. Sister Saru, you go ahead.
Okay. See, in all that exchange, I lost my train of thought.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. You want me to go ahead and then you pick up and come back with it? Okay, so what I was going to say, I mean, of course, when it, you know, comes to, you know, to the children and the bloodline, you know, we're definitely obviously dealing with genetics.
Okay.
And ancestrally, you know, everything is obviously is there. It really is, you know, still programmed within the subconscious mind. And what I want you all to keep in mind is that when we talk about ancestry, we're not just talking about for this lifetime, okay? Your ancestry is going to go beyond many lifetimes. And so it really depends on what it is that has brought to your attention, you know, that you need to clear or resolve, you know, because it, it's usually about something being resolved, okay? So, you know, if you want to bring in a balanced child, what are those things that have kept you off kilter the most? You know, those are the things that you want to address prior to actually participating in conscious, conception. Deal with these issues. Remove them. You know, what's going on when you have your monthly cycle? Are you having the cramps, the pains, and is your body trying to communicate and let you know that there's still something that is left unexpressed and unaddressed? And if that's the case, then you must engage that. Once you engage that, I mean, I would definitely say take some time, communicate with your womb, see what else needs to be done, and a brother should do that as well. Yeah. And then you take that time, you know, to bring in that child. But at the same time, they may be fine anyway. You know, after they get here. You know, after you, like I said, knock out some major things, and you'll be okay. That child will be okay. You put that love energy into that conception, and, you know, before you know it, you know, you got your little divine seed just walking around you. And they're beautiful right now.
Oh, sure.
You know, this next generation that's coming in, I mean, there's something else. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen 15 years from now, because we got some really powerful souls that's coming through.
Mm. Yes, we do. Okay, and Sister Sherrod.
Yes.
Are you thought there already? Did it come back?
Yes, thank you so much for that introduction. I was thinking in terms of the womb. I'm really working to bring things for myself to real practical time levels, because I'm a student and everything has to be brought down to increments. So that daily practice on the self, mantras, are really a great way to attract divine beings, to create shifts within yourself, to address things that you need to shed, and to enhance those things that are already working for you. And there, I find them to be highly underrated in our Western society. It's dealing in, you know, like Diva Mama was saying, it's about vibration. It is about vibration. And those mantras help to, number one, focus in on ourselves so that we are, our anchor is dropped regardless of the wave or the current. That is the play that is going on around us, that we can be in that grounded state. And that is the state, you know, that you want to be in when you work those mantras as well, to bring in, because even when a person is already pregnant, it's very important to, because there are many conceptions out there. Some people believe that the soul is implanted, you know, at inception. Some people believe the soul enters, you know, a certain time frame after the person is pregnant. There are different theories out there.
Mm.
So you have time to work that soul while it's in vitro. And shape and bring that vibration. That child is used to hearing that divine realm anyway, you know. So not only are you saying this is home, but this home sounds like the home you just left, in a sense, because we know mantras are divine.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And you know, as it relates to couples, I think that astrological chart, compatibility charts, are very, very important practical tools that can be used to look at your obstacles and make decisions prior to really engaging in, but we're at the child point, okay, so you're already in the relationship. So, you know, looking at those charts, determining actions to address those challenges or obstacles they call within the chart so that you are, you know, in more harmony to attract that soul that you want, you know. And I guess it's also the intent, you know, because we are also helping to impregnate that person's purpose in our wombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though they come here with their own as well, we still have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rambling, y'all.
Hey, you
but it was okay. It was okay. You were doing fine.
That's some good rambling. That is some good rambling right there.
Okay, but you're rambling truth, sister. You know,
ramble on.
Yeah. But is the ramble okay? Can I pick up the ramble?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, to this cauldron that sits in the middle of this sacred circle that we have here today, I would like to add my spice, if you will. I agree with both my sisters in regards to the mantras, sound, frequency, vibration, and also to the embracing your sacred blood flow even before you get pregnant. How are you relating to yourself when
yes.
you're bleeding? Do you hate your blood? Okay. Do you hate
yeah.
your cycle? If you hate,
yeah.
if you're feeling like you're cursed, then as I say, if I feel like I'm cursed and I accept that, then everything, every child that I bring into the world is cursed,
that's
and I'm
right.
not going there. I'm not buying
uh-huh.
that. That's not the dessert
yeah.
I want to eat. Okay. Mm. Now, mantras are very powerful, and I, for one, have had the experience, okay? I have, you know, personal experience giving birth to a child who, when she was within my womb, Om Shanti, Om Mani Padme Om, were the chants that I said throughout my entire pregnancy, okay?
Mm.
And I feel and see the Zen energy, the peace energy of my daughter. Okay,
mm.
I see how she relates to people. I see how
mm-hmm.
people relate to her. Okay, I see the wisdom that she gives back to me. I'm like, okay,
I love it.
Okay, you know, this is good. All right, you learned well. You know, so I can definitely vouch for mantras and or
yeah.
sound. Now, I've been moving more towards sharing and suggesting to sisters that I consult with, since a lot of them may not want to deal with a mantra per se that comes from the East, okay, but I will suggest to them to find their soul song and to go into the chant. So a lot of the indigenous Native American energy comes through for me, okay,
mm-hmm.
within the chant, the non-verbal, okay? There's a feeling, and, you know, and I know that spirit knows the feeling. Spirit understands what you're saying even when you don't say words.
That's
now,
right.
And the power of ancient language, the ancient Sanskrit, if you will, is extremely powerful in and of itself because it is an ancient tongue. Okay, so it is going to shift the frequency on how you live. It's
mm-hmm.
going to shift the frequency of your blood, your cells, all of that. It's going to shift. But sound in and of itself will do that. Crystal bowls will do that. The drum will do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so whatever sound technique it is that you want to use, as long as it's not heavy metal.
You're so funny. No, it's not heavy metal.
Okay.
Right.
You know, if it's not something that is detrimental to your vibrations, then I say use it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah, and I know, yeah. When that other work comes in, it helps you to maintain that frequency. So doing the work on the womb and releasing, all of this, you know, the other things that have been, some type of major issue in your life. Because, you know, it's you know, in order for us to hold that light, it's a lot of cultivation that you do that takes forth. And basically, you know, the mantras or the chanting or whatever, you know, you're doing is preparing, is cultivating, excuse me, the chi or that life force energy that is constantly coming in to sustain that life form that is within your womb. Mm. So for me, like with my last child, with my youngest daughter, you know, of course, I did a lot of communing with Mother Earth, you know, in the water, letting the power of the water run into my womb to clear out stagnant energy. I also did sweat lodges as well, and we were chanting in there. And for those of you that may not know, when you're in the sweat lodge, the ancestors protect you. So it was like I had a fan blowing on me, you know, or air conditioner or something was over me, and everybody else was burning up. I had did several sweat lodges before that. So when I did that one, I was like, oh, I like this. Oh, sure, we about doing 4, 5, 6 rounds, and they're like, oh, I need to get out of here. And I'm like, hi, come on, y'all, let's keep going. What's wrong with y'all? Like, it's too hot. But as a result, I think I went through my Reiki mastership, all of this, you know, with my daughter. Now she has she's a crystal baby. In other words, she just carries that vibe, that true divine love energy is so strong with her. She's very compassionate with everyone, and she influences everybody. She's only four. My child is only 4 years old. But the energy, the vibration that everybody feels from her, you know, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. You know, so I always say, yeah, I encourage everyone, whatever you can do to maintain the frequency. You know, like, you know, Diva Mama was saying, hey, you know, get your soul song throughout the pregnancy.
Yeah.
This is rude. One of the things that one great affirmation or chant that any woman can say to herself is what Louise Hay always has been a proponent of, and that is, I approve of myself. I approve of myself. I approve of myself. And when you are in worry about anything or in doubt, replace those thoughts with, I approve of myself. And watch the shift. Watch what you cultivate within yourself. Especially when the negative chatter turns on you, I approve of myself.
I see.
I approve of myself.
I approve of myself.
Yeah, I highly approve of myself.
I approve of myself.
All right.
All right. We have another We have another sister that has just joined our cauldron here that we're brewing up.
Holy Ghost.
Sister Natira. That's Sister Natira.
Oh.
All right.
Hello.
Greetings.
Greetings. Welcome.
Greetings.
Welcome.
What's up, sisters?
How you doing?
I am learning and enjoying and feeling the energy raise the spiritual vibrations of my body, and I thank you. And as I listen, I realize why everybody's after y'all. That's what it is. Okay. You know, it's so important that we have these discussions, though, so that we can learn from each other, because our experiences may be different. The reason I feel like we're really, as an earth mama, you know, not connecting back, you know, with the humanity that we have created is because we don't listen to each other. There's a good video out called Pray the Devil Back to Hell. And it's basically where you have the sisters in Africa, in Liberia in particular, using their spirituality to get politically involved, using their chants and their spells and their prayers, and also their social activism.
Yes.
To hold warlords like Charles Taylor accountable, and hold warlords and military dictators in Africa accountable. And so they would have these mass protests and sit-ins. where they would basically have the warlords at their mercy. And just out of the honor and respect that, hey, I'm your mama. You cannot keep killing my babies. You cannot keep acting a fool. I am bringing you to order. So I just wanted to add that, you know, our women really are the Mother Earth. You know,
that's right.
We really are that black womb-iverse. We really are that larger creative force that's going to continue humanity to go forward. And if we don't have these type of social outlets, you know, where we can talk about these things, you have people who are attacking the black womb and the whole mystery system of the black woman through propaganda like Oprah, Beyonce, Sierra, you know, where you take the divine feminine now and she's a whore. And you can't listen to her. You know, she can listen to you. Oprah listen to you all day long. You know, she'll be that mother whose shoulder you can cry on. But you're not going to get a lot of wisdom out of Oprah. You know, so even though her O represents the womb, you see what I'm saying? People are going to come to that esoterically because that's where that zero that we come from is something but it's nothing. And I don't think that we given enough respect to our elder sisters, our younger sisters, our sisters and mothers in general who have just matrilineally developed this hidden knowledge. And a lot of brothers right now, you know, need to pay attention to what, you know, the sisters are saying because there's a lot of male ego that need to be diffused, you know, and like the sisters in Sierra Leone and other places had to hold the Charles Taylor's hostage, our sacred priesthood of women have to hold these men hostage and let them know that these male, female bashing religions that have created this disunity in our womb-iverse has to be addressed. So I just wanted to add my little two cents to that because I'm really enjoying it, and I know that a lot of young sisters at 12 and 13, you know, Beyonce is their mentor. You see what I'm saying? And it's all about how pretty you are. Mm-hmm. It's not really about, you know, the secret of the sacred feminine inside of your womb that gives life. It's more so about, you know, the pleasure that someone gets out of looking at you or touching on you and, you know, all these foolish things. And so I just think that it's very important that we have, you know, a feminine voice out there, you know, calling to order, you know, what's going on around us, because whether they respect us or not, this is the beginning and the end, you know, the black woman.
That's right. That's your energy I felt coming on the line, because I was just going to ask something along that line.
I was just speaking.
That was Sister Matera.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Matera. See, that's why I was begging her in the chat room to call in. She was like, I'm listening. I said, you gonna call in. We need you.
I was just about to ask, what part does our spiritual evolution play in the revolution?
Well, the revolution is the evolution.
I agree with that.
Because you have a lot of sisters separate the two, as if, or not necessarily us, more so than our counterparts separate the two, as if the spiritual has absolutely nothing to do with the revolution.
That's the basis of it. The spiritual thing is the basis of it, because this is really not a physical war that's going on right now. It looks as though it is. That's a part of it, but it's a spiritual thing that's going on right now.
And the truth is that what we call matter or physical, you know, is nothing but energy that is vibrating at a lower speed or a lower frequency. So the truth of the matter is that there really is no separation. Physical is still spiritual or pure energy. That's how everything is connected. So that's why I say, well, spiritual, you know, evolution is the revolution. But I'll let some of the other sisters talk on that. And
you go, Phoenix.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Because,
I love y'all. I love y'all.
You know, because for a long time, you know, I've looked at the end quote revolution. You know, the carrying of the placard, the, you know, wanting to pick up arms and, you know, and things of that nature. And there were certain things that had happened, you know, and, you know, brothers would come to me and they'd be like, well, sister, what do you think of this? And don't you feel that you need to, you know, go march? And I said, no, I don't. What I feel that we need to do is that we need to do our magic. That's what I feel that we need to do. But that's my end. Okay. You have to have those, as I call them, quiet, powerful warriors that are behind the scenes, if you will, doing certain spiritual work, magical work, as I call it, a sacred bloody revolution work, you know, in order to, and I will explain that more, in order to be able to shift the energy in such a powerful way that, you know, you'll be blinking and the picture will be changing before your eyes. That's how I hear the message. See, I have a lot of faith. And I have a lot of belief in the power of womb magic, so to speak. And the sacred bloody revolution to speak of is doing sacred blood rituals every month. Taking your sacred blood flow, the peaceful blood that flows from your womb, and blessing this earth with it. You know, but I'm not going to go too much into detail, you know. But this is my truth. This is what I hear, okay? The blood that is being shed in this world and everything that is out of order, I've heard in my contemplations that everything that is out of order can be put back in order the more that women bless this earth with their sacred flow, blood for blood.
I think that is powerful.
Wow.
And I think it is exactly what the essence of what she's speaking of is the magic to fuel any change that takes place on the planet. And that magic is essential is what I'm hearing her say. The act of or the result of the women putting them their blood in the earth. What can come from that is pure potential. Now, I'm a little radical, and my girlfriend is laughing at me all day long on our private chat because she says I'm holding back because she knows that I really feel that women can have it all. And I believe that we have the power, and the way that we invoke that power is to bring our legs together.
Oh, for sure.
For peace.
For sure.
And
powerful.
Something
powerful
that I've been a proponent of since 1993. And I really believe that in order for the world to change, it will be with the direction of women.
Wow.
And in order to bring the consciousness inward, then something has to be sacrificed for that voice to be heard, women's voice to be heard. And I think that we have to shut it down.
And I agree with that. My only suggestion since, you know, I've been doing the sexual cultivation now for about six or 7 years is that if you close your legs, which is beautiful, still understand that in order for you to operate in a balanced manner, in order to continue assisting the revolution, the evolution, the revolution of the evolution, take that sexual energy and you circulate it or you cultivate it. Because what will happen if you close your legs and that stuff is just sitting there, then you're going to get thrown off balance.
Yeah.
You know, because Mother Earth ain't going to say, well, you got your legs closed, so now we're not going to push no energy through your body.
Oh, that's exactly right.
No,
So in other words, you take that raw sexual energy, and then you're going to bring it into a higher aspect of yourself, which is connecting it with the divinity within you.
I love it.
Okay, right. Then when you're able to go out there and you speak with everybody, you ain't on edge because you ain't did nothing in 15 months, you know. And not only that, but by keeping your life force energy within yourself, you're going to be stronger. There's just so much stuff that you can do with it after that. I mean, everything, all of your spiritual abilities, just are increased. You're more in tune, especially, your intuition, your clairvoyance, your prophetic abilities, all of that comes with it, but you still got to take that energy and do something with it. Yeah. You can't just sit there.
Exactly. I'm in a total agreement with you.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings me, Mammy Saru, you helped me perfectly come into the next question, which is the comment or idea you gave me. A global agenda must be set by Black women.
That's right.
How do we accomplish that, and what would that look like?
Well, as I was saying, we have to shut it down in order for us to open ourselves to the, as you shut it down, there's actual other steps that have to go into place to develop that collective thought for women, because with that energy, like Phoenix was saying, out there, with that energy can be used. So you take that energy and you begin to develop 10 things that we can do collectively as women. And if 10 is too much, reduce it down. And we are doing the exact same things in a sense, so that the agenda will be what is used to fuel the evolution. Diet. We have to get really serious about the food that we're giving ourselves and our children.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
We have to get really serious about that, especially with the genetic engineering that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So coming together and making, they're very basic principles that we can come up with and develop, but they also need to address our highest intent, our sole purpose intent, our incarnation objective.
Mm.
So we don't have to make it hard. We have to make it practical.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Mm. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Indeed.
Okay. Everybody's not going to do the reading. We have those sisters whose function will be scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
We have those sisters whose function will be sacred sexuality. When you're walking in your divine purpose, you're cultivating that person, right?
Right.
Mm. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
Mm.
So,
You know, and I like the fact of, when you say, Mammy Shalud, about, some of the women dealing with scholarships, because you have different energies.
Yes.
Okay, you have the scholar. Okay,
yes.
You have the medicine woman.
Yes.
You have the shaman.
Yes.
Okay, you have... All right, you have the mother.
Yes.
You have the Amazon. You have all of these different energies that are contributing to the cauldron, if you will, to the soup mix, in order to make the world a better place to live. But, of course,
yeah,
we have to first make our own world a good
That's
world
right.
to live in. And creating the agenda, okay, because this is just coming to me. You know how, what we seek, what we teach about, is usually something that we want to know more about.
Yeah.
So if we create an agenda, and in that agenda, we say, all right, you need to eat better, okay, eat better food, think better thoughts, speak better
yes.
words,
yes.
okay?
Yeah.
That's good. But how about if within that agenda it is added, praise, look into your sister's eyes and praise her. You don't have to like her.
Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Okay, you don't have to like her.
That's right.
But do not speak ill of your sister.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Because every time we do that, we're adding poison to the pot of hot hell. Excuse my French. God is hell, H-E-L. Okay, how are we going to really shift the energy if we say, oh, well, you know, I'm better than you because I'm a vegetarian, or I'm better than you because I'm a vegan, or I'm better than you because I meditate every day, or I'm better than you because I don't wear a miniskirt.
Yeah, you haven't done anything.
Yes,
okay. Right. You ain't doing nothing. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on one end, you're doing this, and then on the other end, you're doing the poison pen. Like I said, I don't have to like you. But my duty is to love you. That is
you're
my
right.
obligation.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
love
right.
all, trust few, harm none.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh. You know, so that needs to be in your agenda. I
agree.
Propose
we're making
that be
I agree.
And it's 3:33 according to 1 o'clock, although I know it's not, but that clock over there that I'm looking at, so you know that master number energy for the numerologist, 3:33, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
looking at that number shows up.
Mm.
Okay.
Venus.
Mwah, mwah, hello.
Oh man.
All right now.
I love y'all. I do. I love the work. I love the work.
Me too. Me too. Yeah.
Mhm. So we've got Lady Phoenix who's, and I just want to say this, our sister Lady Phoenix is, you know, she deals with womb energy, but she's also doing the theta energy, which is something else that's dealing with frequencies and vibrations in people. I honor that. Okay? And then Mammy Rude, you know, coming from the Eastern philosophy, coming from the mantras, coming from that sound energy, you know, coming from that deep energy of the goddess and whatnot. I honor that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Too.
Those two I know. And then we have, you know, Sister Seek, and Sister Conspiracy with, you know, the Black Woman's Help, you know, at the Ning Network, and then having this show, I honor you.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I honor
Thanks.
You.
Thank
okay?
You.
You know, and any other sister that's doing work towards helping to make this planet a better place, helping to have better children, helping to have better relationships with themselves, with their men, with whomever, with the universe at large, I honor you all.
I just want to say one thing. The healing and the emotional thing, if you need some help, you must. We have a line full of healers on the phone right now. But what I will say personally, Lady Phoenix, I love you, sister.
Oh, God bless.
See,
you about to make me cry. Look, I'm tired out to get
I
said I won't go cry on the show. Come on.
My goodness.
I'm not even going to get into any details, but I'm telling you, her theta DNA, what she does with that and working on the beliefs and, you know, just a lot. What she does is she helps you release some of those things that we tend to hold on to, a lot of the pain and the hurts and the things we've been through, no matter how little or small we think it is, those things manifest in us and cause things. And so when we don't deal with those things, we react to certain people in ways that harm us in the long run. And so that's all I'm going to say on that. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Bless us. You got me in tears over here. And the reason I say that is, you know, for a lot of y'all to understand, for all of us that are on the phone, in order for us to do this work, we got to have a love anyway. You know what I mean? Because we want everybody to be able to truly walk in their divinity. So when we get into this work, there's so much that we do have to do on ourselves. And for those that have known me prior, especially when I was, you know, doing, you know, the goddess, you know, roundtable more consistently, you see everything that we were talking about with the healing, understanding, you know, the divine feminine being present in our lives, doing, you know, the chanting and the sound energy work like Mama Saru is saying, us knowing our position and understanding the role we play as women within humanity. The only way to really, you know, when we take all of that information, all of that knowledge and all of that power, if you have not eliminated what's on that subconscious, you're going to be working harder. So when you address what's going on in the subconscious level, and there's four different belief levels, it helps you to maintain the healing. It really does. And so all of the other work that we've talked about, trust me, it really does help. Sisters has done it. Everything I did prepared me for Theta. It prepared me, you know, and Theta is just the brainwave state that you go into as you go up to the seventh plane to seek the help of the Creator. And the Creator is truly the one that's doing the work. I'm just witnessing it, literally. I'm just witnessing it. But the reason I say all of this is because for everybody that's on the phone, we're talking about, okay, well, what is the role? What is the role of the black woman? You know, first thing is get your house together.
That's right.
But anything, get your house together first. You set the tone for your home, but it also starts within, like we're saying, within yourself. Do the best that you can. You can't do it all. Hey, that's what the sisters are here for. We're all here to assist one another. But when it comes down to it, you have got to take the courage. You got to have courage to address certain things because it's not going to be pretty. As a matter of fact, it's not pretty, and I'm glad I get to do my own sessions on myself because I'd be like, oh, my goodness. The stuff that the Creator shows me is there. Oh, my goodness. And a lot of times it may not even be yours, you know, but if we are really going to continue the revolution, we really do have to do that work with ourselves. And it sounds like over the last few years that the sister circles, you know, and everything is becoming bigger, it's becoming stronger. Like, for example, this radio show and all the many others, everybody is really putting in that work. And I know that means that that's because we want it and we're ready for it. You know what I mean, y'all? Mm-hmm. We're ready for it. Yes. We're ready for it right now. Mm-hmm. We can do this. There isn't nothing that can hold us back anymore. We don't. You know what? We don't even have excuses no more. That's right.
I agree.
Okay. So just imagine how much more powerful it would be even with us coming together in person and doing the work. Because I know Diva Mama's talking about some things, you know, on her site, you know, doing the womb shaman work, using that sacred blood for sacred purposes. So us coming together, you know, whether it's monthly or whatever, you just imagine the things that we can manifest. And this is really what the sacred divine feminine is about. It's about you claiming your power and walking in it, but understanding how to walk in it. You got to understand how to use that power.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We have to understand it. So this is about us understanding who we are, that part of us that has been denied us, that part of us that has been persecuted. It can't even happen. Goddess is just showing herself to everybody right now. You know, everybody, I think me and Mommy Sarut had talked about it some months back, you know, about, you know, Kali just showing up. Everybody like, I'm seeing Kali too. You see Kali? I see Kali too. Mm. That says a lot in and of itself, sisters.
That's right, because we're in Kali Yuga. And since we are in Kali Yuga, we may as well focus on the goddess of this Yuga. That we're in. And Kali Yuga is, Kali, as we know, is the destroyer, but she destroys unjustness.
Mm.
She rights wrong. She's like Mayat. You know, so we're not, it's not just about fluff. You know, we have other aspects of ourselves that must be cultivated. Some of us need to become great sharpshooters. Some of us need to become martial artists.
That's right.
You know, it's very important when I talk about the trades a lot. A lot of us need to become tradespersons again, especially since we're responsible for all seven liberal arts. Many of us need to become physicists. Many of us, we need to get in the game. Back in the game, because we created what's being studied, everything is being studied. We know that.
You know, everything that's being dissected, you know, it has to be dissected because it was a whole, it was us.
So
we have to, we need to be investigators. You know, very important, and we need to develop philanthropy. That means that we have to also cultivate abundance. There are those of us, there are many of us who understand manifestation and need to be responsible for that aspect. So, if, you know, like Mama Diva was saying, you know, we have different roles. As we create the agenda, you have your personal agenda. But we've got to have concrete objectives because the time is now.
That's right. That's right.
And it is like Michael Jackson said, you do start with the man in the mirror.
Say that again.
You know, I screamed, Sarood, because when you said the word fluff, I was telling my husband the other day, I said, you know, I can't deal with the fluff. The fluff is not me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it was so you just gave me a confirmation on what I said to him a couple of days ago. You know, and it doesn't mean that, and I'm going to, that certain work that would be considered fluff is not needed because you have to meet.
It's necessary.
Yeah, you have to meet people where they are.
You sure
you
do.
Know, but it's like every one of us that's on this call right now is so gifted, and everyone who's listening is so gifted in being able to hear this magic that is happening right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they can take it and they can extend it out even more so. Like Lady Phoenix, you know, dealing with Theta and that brainwave. Now, I go there in a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I go there through the shaman way. I go there through the drum and through the chant as I know it and through the rattle, okay? You know, and taking clients, sisters, into a space where it's called soul retrieval. And pulling back pieces, you know, for the traumas that they've gone through in their life, rape, molestation, losing a job, having an abortion, having a miscarriage, you know, all of those are traumas where we leave parts of ourselves in these places. When somebody cusses you out, that's a trauma.
Yeah.
Okay? When somebody slanders your name, that's a trauma.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to pull this energy back, and then going back, as you say, in that ancestral line all the way past just this generation, you know, of ancestors or this time as we know, like our mothers, our grandmothers, etc., you know, but going further back and helping to heal that energy and to bring it forth so it is healed, okay? There's something called recapitulation, and on Facebook the other day I said I'm still recapitulating. Because it takes a lifetime to heal, a lifetime, and then some maybe, to pull back all of who you are, and not to be in a state to be Buddha like, so to speak, you know, because in that movie, Little Buddha, when Siddhartha left his wealth and he went out into the forest and, you know, he met with the Indian gurus that were out there, and they had renounced all material wealth. And then he did that for a while, and then he said, okay, I'm going to eat some rice because I need to eat. So then they rejected him because he ate rice. So then he went to another level. But what really struck me was he was sitting in his lotus position, and the so-called dark side showed itself, and it wasn't beautiful. It was not a good energy for him. It was evil-looking and lustful and all the rest of that, and he just sat, and when he connected that was him, then it disappeared because he was able to face his shadow. We haven't faced our shadow enough yet.
I agree on that A lot of people don't do or even know of the shadow side of ourselves. We hear that person talking all the time, though.
All right. Mammy Sarood.
Yes.
Could you speak on working toward your divine purpose and your divine mission, determining your walk?
Many times that divine mission was identified very early in our lives. And many of us were talked out of our divine missions and so forth, for something geared us off that path. It is important for us to go back and remember those things that we said as a child, very young age, even the first profession that you claimed, because your purpose is tied to the work that you do daily. They're not separate. Going back to remember what that was that made that child want to get up in the morning, reconnecting with that energy, because you'll find that that energy is still sitting there just waiting to be kicked back up. And so reconnecting, even if it has been modified some, you still have to go all the way back before we put all these layers on about who we are as woman and daughter and wife and spouse and mom and all that. Before we had all those layers, per se, go back and identify what that was that you wanted to do when you were in a more of your core state. And then start, you know, work from there. You have to identify that. That's what I've always suggested to people. And if you were talked out of that, it's like Wayne Dyer says when people say, well, I was never told, I was always told not to ride a bike. I would get hurt. And he says, well, go ride one now. You don't have to stay hostage to those past thoughts of what we weren't allowed to do. It's as if you're breathing life into a skeleton. Would you try to resuscitate a skeleton? Would you spend any time there?
No.
Don't preach it, Mammy. Don't preach it like you feel it. Oh, I'm sorry.
But that is that.
Preach it like you feel it. That's so crazy up in here.
Oh man. I mean, wow.
But you know, Mammy Sarood is right. Going back to childhood, because the inner child knows when you were young, there was something that sat with you. You wanted to grow up and be this or that before you reached the age of reason. Even there was something that was there.
Yeah.
And when you hit 7 years old, you lost it. It was like you reached that age of reason, and it was like, I can't do that. But your 5-year-old knew. Your 6-year-old knew, and okay, maybe your 7, 8, 9-year-old knew. But then there was a time when you were told you can't do that. There was a time when you were told that those in quote spirit helpers that you were talking to, you know, your invisible friends.
That's right.
Because you saw them, you talked to them, they talked to you. Y'all hung out tough. We hung out tough. And they told us things. They reminded us of who we were, why we are the way we are, and what we were born to do. And then, you know, our adults told us, there's nobody over there. Would you stop that? Why are you imagining?
Who are you talking to?
Okay. Talking to God.
Don't do that when we in public.
Okay. But Ma.
Yeah.
Oh yes. And and I just want to say this, and then I'm going to, you know, be quiet for a bit. But
don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do that.
Oh, well, you know, it's not the diva moment show. but Mammy, when you were talking about going back to the childhood, and I was sitting here and I was reflecting. I was reflecting on when I was, and I'm giving personal experiences because that's the best way to tell your story, right? You know, but I remember when I was 5 years old and I told my mother, when I was five and I had said to the universe, not to my mother, but to the universe, I said, I wish that I had some magical dust that I could blow on people so that they would be happy because I had seen so many unhappy faces.
Oh, wow.
In my community. Okay. And I remember being given this magical fairy dust, if you will. And I use it in my work.
Wow.
Okay.
And you got some little fairy dust. Look at you.
It never runs out, you know. It's like the color spectrum is there. And then between 7 and 9, I remember, I must have been closer to 7, I remember telling my mother, I said, Mom, I am not from this planet.
Wow.
What did your mama say? She was like, child, go have a seat, right?
No, she didn't. She was like, okay, honey. You know, but I told her I was from Venus and that I came to this planet to show people how to love because they didn't know how to love.
Oh.
When I can remember. See your energy.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, and then there were other times, you know, like when I was 15, I remember, you know, a nun telling me, she said, one day you'll be a great leader of your people, but not now, you know, and then again at 18, an Englishman told me the same thing, and then at 22, you know, an Indian Sikh who was over here to read palms for free told me the same thing, and I didn't really think about all that stuff. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I see what's going on and I see the work that I love to do and helping especially my sisters with wombs, born with wombs naturally, okay, especially you, it's like you can do this. You've got the power. You've got the power to help to show people how to really be all that they can be. We are here to grow to our greatest, highest level in life. That's why we're here. All the other stuff is like fluff.
Fluff.
Okay, anyway, that's it for me for now.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And there are many of us who are parents right now, so this is so healing because we have an opportunity to cultivate that in our children.
Yeah.
As they say those things out loud and speak those things out loud to the universe that we may not have picked up on at the moment or that we heard and may have thought something, even the thought that it couldn't. It may not have verbalized it, but the thought that they couldn't be the astronaut. Or whatever it is that they say they want to be, or whatever, you know, cultivate whatever it is, whoever they are, whatever puts them on purpose.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do we support that?
Mm.
What practical application do you put in place to support what that child has said while they're in that raw state, as Tanya put it?
As you said, cultivate. We cannot hinder our children.
That's right.
In anything that they want to do, we can't allow our, I guess, fears or, you know, anything of that nature to hold back our children because they're at a state where they're free to think. They haven't experienced the ills of, you know, negativity of other people, and we can't be that negativity to them.
Mm-hmm.
We can't bring in that part of the world that, you know, tells you can't do this or you can't accomplish that, you know, and puts that seed, that negative seed in our children. we can't be that to them. And I've seen mothers do that where,
while
you know,
still creating boundaries.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Especially with a child saying, I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a scientist, or you can't do that, you're Black, or
right.
you can't do that, you're a girl, you know.
Right.
The
tribal thoughts.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
And, I mean, you know, my baby come to me and tell me he want to be a doctor. I'm buying all the medical biology books and all kind of scopes and what have you. Do it, baby. Whatever you feel like you think you can do.
Let's see. Saru, you also made a comment, a reference to the root of our desires and supporting our collective desires planetarily as original beings.
Mm-hmm. Right. That is what I was meaning by developing the 10 action items for women
mm-hmm.
that become our daily practice. So, you know, this is cultivating our collective thought. We know we have movement to make. We know that there is change that we are responsible for. So the foundation has to be put in place, in a sense. And if we are experiencing abuses through men, which many women are, whether it be physical or mental, then we also have to put on our action plan something that will empower us to overcome or neutralize that. And that speaks to our self-defense, making a determination as to whether we need to, at this point, because of where we are, we have our fragmented, in a sense, selves. We're collecting all those pieces back together. So that means that we have to make decisions for where we are right now also. And that may mean that women have to contemplate whether it be, and I put it out on a blog recently, should it be mandatory for women to carry a gun? When you look at the statistics about the abuse that is occurring towards women every so many seconds in the United States and globally, just for protection.
Well, something that I've noticed with, you know, with my clients and doing, you know, the work, you know, dealing with the 4 belief levels on a subconscious is that a lot of women, including myself, because I had dealt with, you know, domestic violence and rape, you know, mm-hmm. unfortunately, like most of us have, everyone, you know, seemed to be carrying the beliefs that were basically coerced upon, you know, us, you know, from, you know, generations back, you know, so, you know, the belief that as a woman, you know, I have a right to get, you know, hit or abuse, you know, my husband has the right to rape me, or men have the right to violate me. As a woman, I am nothing. And although the people that I worked with, you know, consciously, you know, they don't, you know, they're not thinking that that's what they're believing and that's what they're carrying, but they were. You understand? So they weren't just carrying their own. They were also carrying things from ancestral times. Mm. So when it comes to healing from, you know, and this is why, you know, I keep, you know, going back to the subconscious, because I'm like, yo, if we're going to change anything, we really got to look at these programs, because it really, if you're carrying a program with you and then you having babies, that child and that child's child is going to carry those same things. So you go in, root that stuff out, and you replace it, you know. And so I even had to do some extensive work on myself. I was like, oh, no, this was there? Oh, as a woman, I don't have any power. As a woman, I don't have the right to voice or use my power. And then these were actual beliefs that have come up in different women that I have done the work on. And they'll be surprised, like, what? okay, where did that come from? I didn't think that I was feeling that way. You know what I mean? So as a collective, if you could imagine for me, if you will, imagine everybody going through and, you know, changing all of these crazy programs that's going on a subconscious level. And then, of course, replacing it with something obviously more powerful, more positive, more affirming. And then we put this system in place that you're speaking of, Sarood. And that eliminates, you know, that eliminates the need for that gun, because now at this point everybody's able to use their personal power. Because you're, you know, when you're getting violated, what they're actually violating, they're violating your sacred power. And that sacred power is directly connected to your personal power, which resides in the solar plexus chakra. And usually what happens is when those two, and for most people that I've been working with, what I'm seeing is and it catch you, you know, when you're a baby, you're or a young child, if you will, when you've been violated, you've been, you know, going through domestic violence or whatever, it tends to blow out the sacral chakra and also the heart chakra. In other words, there's such a large amount of energy that has, you know, come into the body, and particularly that specific chakra, that has been like a short circuit. And so there's a disconnect, there's a detachment. You're in your body, but you're not in your body. Okay, so we fix all of that, bring it all back to where it needs to be on an energetic level, get you balanced out emotionally and mentally, apply, you know, these different steps, you know, that Mommy Sarood and all of the other sisters are saying, you can make a lot happen. I promise you that. Because all you, once you connect that, or you fill back up that void that's happened on that second chakra, then it connects you right back to your personal power, how you see you're supposed to carry out your personal power for this lifetime, and then you're able to carry out your divine plan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In a more balanced way. Not saying you can't do it without it, but it just kind of helps you to balance it out, and then you're able to do things in a more effective manner. It really makes a difference.
I agree. That sounds like a serious unplugging from the matrix.
That's exactly what's happening. I kid you not.
It is an unplugging from the matrix. Yeah. It sounds like you could be doing, you know, because I'm working with you as well, it seems like, you know, I can, you know, really see you doing this training for this theta because of you're one person.
Yeah, I can't do it by myself. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. You know,
but that's why we're all doing it. But
that is, you know, that people will step forward that need, that will be the healers, the energetic healers.
Yes, you combine it with everything you do, I promise
mm-hmm.
you. Combine it, and you know how we all do. None of us do just one thing, none of us. we have so many tools that we use. You know, we combine it with that, and then something else I want to say really quick is just that in the midst of carrying, like, the positive beliefs, like, you know, for example, remember how you were saying earlier on the show, hey, when them other crazy thoughts come up, just start saying, I approve of myself, and that will make a difference during a pregnancy. Well, the person can at the same time believe that, you know, and they truly believe this is there in the subconscious, I approve of myself. And at the same time, they could have another belief, which is what we call double belief, and it could be, I do not approve of myself.
Mm-hmm. I believe.
At the same time, and I've worked with a lot of people where they'll have both of them there, mm-hmm. and they'll be trying to figure out, well, how come it seems like I do approve of myself, and then every once in a while I see that I'm you know, struggling with this, or I still got self-esteem issues, or I have, you know, this is what's coming out with me. Some days I can do it, some days I can't. Well, you have two beliefs that are battling with each other. And so in that sense, it leaves you in this, how do I want to call it, almost like you're frozen.
Doubtful. Well, you know what? I use Goddess as, and I look at the different aspects. And there are, you know, we have within woman every one of these aspects.
That's right.
The healer. And then we have the priestess, and then we have the mother, and all these different, but I think we keep leaving out the physical part of ourselves. And I could see if we continue to ignore it, it becoming a shadow self in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
that physical side is that it needs to be addressed. A lot of times we think of our physical side as only to lose weight, we also need to think of our physical side to protect ourselves.
Right.
And I think that is important because those statistics, this is happening every second. And this is where we are in this moment as we're doing our healing. So it has to make a part, it has to be a part of that agenda that we become martial artists or whatever it is that we need to do to wake up and that part of ourselves that exists that also needs to be expressed when you think of the Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
There are aspects
Amazon
of
warrior queen.
That is an energy in itself that wakes up the Shakti. You know, it's very important that we, you know, there were reasons why we were able to run cross country. Cross country, country literally meant cross country. And we have to go back. There's a lady online, and not saying that everybody should do this, but she was 71. The sister was so beautiful, and that woman looked fabulous and was teaching weight training. And I'm just saying that there is a part of us that we have to remember that there's a physical side of us for a reason.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We have to cultivate that side of ourselves because that, I think, is one of the biggest ones hiding in the shadow because it deals with, are you being a good girl? Are you being a lady? All those tribal thoughts that told us not to be that physical person. See, we are in this physical body. And there's there are things that lie dormant in us when we are doing those physical things that need to be shaken up, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Can we touch on one thing briefly that I think is very important that some sisters do but some of us don't? Meditation. Can we speak on a lot of sisters don't know how to meditate or what that consists of? And what does that do for the physical and the spiritual when we meditate?
Oh, we love to meditate. We love meditation. I can tell you how I started real quick, this Lady Phoenix talking. I remember the days when I used to be like, will I ever be able to meditate? Really, first of all, let's just talk about what meditation is. And just so y'all know, there's so many different ways to meditate, just like there's so many different ways to cook chicken. You know, So I can tell y'all the technique that I use, and then maybe everybody else can jump in and say, hey, this is the one that I use, you know, because there is no wrong way to, you know, to get to it. But I know the easiest way, and, you know, wait a minute, coming back to, you know, the definition of meditation, you know, for me and what I understand meditation to be is basically a way of, and I use, you know, I do a lot of still mind meditation. In other words, what I do is I slow down the thoughts. You know, basically to the point where I'm not thinking, I'm just breathing, you know, I'm just breathing and that's it. And, you know, basically feeling my connection to everything because it's usually the thoughts that separate you or make you or give you the illusion of being separated from everything and everyone. And so when you're meditating, you know, basically what you're doing is you're coming back into that place of knowing, you know, that place of divinity and of really being able to commune with the universe. And it's really good for balancing out your emotions. So, you know, if you've had a day where it was a very emotional day or just very stressful and upsetting, and now you got to do some other things that really require your attention and your intellect and all of that, you want to do some meditation to kind of get yourself grounded and balanced. It's also great for those people who say that they, you know, they can't hear their angels, they can't hear their spirit guides, they can't hear the creator or goddess or whoever talking to them. This is the one thing that you will do that will dramatically shift and change that altogether. And so what I basically did when I, you know, was starting out was I would meditate, you know, for 5 minutes a day. And starting off, it did help if I had, like, some different type of meditative, you know, type of music. And you combine that with visualization because when you use your power of visualization, it helps to slow down those thoughts. You know, so you do it 5 minutes a day, you know, visualizing, I would say, colors, inhaling, you know, maybe seeing yourself inhaling a white breath, exhaling blue, whatever colors come to you at that time. It all is going to help your thoughts to slow down. If you can make it through 5 minutes, you have made a big accomplishment. Okay, and then you just, you know, as the weeks go by, you know, the following week, okay, you got through your 5 minutes, okay, increase it another 5 minutes, and let's do 10 minutes a day, you know, but you take some time, you know, get away from where everybody is at and, you know, go into your quiet space, but it really makes a difference because no matter how y'all want to look at whether you accept it or not, you're a multidimensional being, period, you know, physical, you're already connected to everybody physically, you're talking to them. Emotionally, mentally, we already know because you're expressing yourselves, your thoughts, and your emotions. So spiritually, this is, you know, kind of like that fabric that's bringing it all together. And that's really the way that I look at meditation as that, the communicative fabric of life, you know. One of them anyway, because there's so many, but, that's the way I see it. And then for those of you that are maybe doing some form of healing work, regardless of what aspect you're doing it on, if, you know, you want to increase, you know, your certain abilities, your intuition, you know, your telepathy, you know, whatever it may be, you know, add some meditation, try to get up to about an hour a day if you can. You know, but for like, you know, for an average everyday person that's not doing, you know, the healing work or whatever, I would say maybe about 20 to 25 minutes a day will suffice, you know, for meditation. So that's my little bit.
Anyone have anything to add before I take a caller we have on the line?
Sure, I'll give my meditation story real quick. This is Empress.
Okay.
I meditate in different ways. It just depends on what I need to do at that moment. I may sit still and just calm myself and really just listen to me and listen to my ancestors. Or I may get in my garden and get my hands in the earth. I mean, it's several different ways in which I meditate and where I'm calm and where I just center myself or just sit still. I meditate in my bath. I mean, it just depends on what I need at that moment and, you know, not necessarily a time frame. Sometimes it's an hour. Sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's a half a day. It just depends on how long I need to sit still and center myself, you know, because I may go too long or there may be something really heavy that I experience that I just need to center myself and calm myself and bring myself back to that balance because something on the outside or something that I'm dealing with may have thrown my balance off, you know, so it just depends. But I love meditation. I highly recommend meditation for people. I mean, even on a health level, meditation just, sometimes you just need to sit still. I know some women that go on and on and on doing so many things, and you don't realize a silent killer is stress. And meditation is a beautiful healing experience when you're stressing yourself. And sometimes you just need to sit still, be still. So
I'm going to pick, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did I interrupt you?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was going to pick up on that health tip. I think what you're saying is exactly right. With meditation, it's a science, and it has been proven to lower your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are many, when you do meditation, not only is it a benefit to your body, but it can also be a benefit to your pocket because there are a lot of insurance companies that will discount your insurance because you practice meditation.
Mm. That's right.
Mm. And the brain is a very active vehicle. It thinks about 50,000 thoughts a day. And so when you meditate, you are communicating with yourself and to your brain that you are replenishing yourself. And when you sit down, you have to, meditation is a commitment, and it is a practice. It is something that you have to do daily. You
mm-hmm.
must cultivate it. And you have to be serious about what it brings and what it does for the body. It quiets the brain. And so when you are When you don't practice meditation, then those things that are happening in your life tend to move you. Pretend you're a boat and you're floating alone. And when those currents or waves come upon you and you're not practicing meditation, you get thrown all over the place.
Right.
When you are practicing meditation, you can still experience those same things, those currents, obstacles, waves, situations, with your anchor now dropped, though, because
right.
you have been practicing your meditation. And so, yes, you are still moved by those activities, but you are no longer swayed by those activities, and
mm-hmm.
so to speak. You don't get carried along with them. You still stay there. You move with it, but it doesn't take you away.
That's a beautiful analogy.
So it keeps you
meditation
is very beneficial. The other benefit is that when we are asleep, we're still thinking. When we are up, we're still talking and communicating and interacting. Even when we're reading, we're in conversation, Deepak Chopra says. So that means then that when you sit down daily and you tell yourself that you are ready to quiet those thoughts so that the brain can rejuvenate, because it's like a muscle. Imagine you doing your arm constantly, bending your arm, and you never give it any rest. Now, a lot of people say, well, I rest when I go to sleep. But your brain is still thinking, it's still conversating. So it still is not at rest. The only time that the brain is at rest is when you're in meditation, and that is the time when it gets an opportunity to rejuvenate itself. So it's very important that you sit down at least 20 to 25 minutes in the morning and even in the evening. Give yourself that time. Unplug the phone. Put the dogs out. Put the cats out. You don't need any disturbances, because when you're in meditation and you hear noises, it startles you. And it affects the body a certain way. And so what you have to do is minimize that. And do that practice. No meditation will be the same. Everyone will be different.
That's right.
A result. Don't get attached to what you think meditation is.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to sit and be in those thoughts. It takes at least 15 minutes for that brain to know, she's serious. She's really not going to talk to me.
Yeah.
Those people, you know those people.
And if I got on something really, really, really quick, is just to say that the mind is throughout the body, and the body does communicate, because they all have the neuroreceptor, molecules and transmitter. The neurotransmitters they're also located throughout the organs. So it's not just your brain, it's your whole body. Your whole body thinks and feels. So meditation is helping with all of that, and that's why it's helping with your health.
I think we have a caller out there trying to get in.
Yes, we do. Area code 478, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hello.
Beautiful.
Hey, I just wanted to add something in right quick and get some of y'all's opinions on it. I'm in Georgia. And I'm in the chat room too. In the chat room, my name is Bird. In the chat room,
hi, Bird.
Hey, everybody, and all the wounds on here. Mm-hmm. I wanted to interject something, because the topic at the beginning was about a woman's role in spirituality, and I was telling a sister this the other day, because it's in the black community, the black church has just truly been a foundation for years. And a lot of women's spirituality came out of that, be it if they changed and are now Moors or Muslims or just conscious or whatever it is. But I was talking to a brother the other day, and his sentiments were one that I hear a lot of men say about women, as far as how they are spiritual in one instance, but in the physical they're not. And this goes a little bit back to what Sarood was trying to say, because this particular woman, of course, is trying to get him saved or is concerned about his soul salvation, but, in the physical, she's still, doing a lot of things, sex for one of them, that she says she shouldn't do. And he has really no respect for her. And but I was talking to him the other day, but what he said just, is so reminiscent of what other men have told me, too. And I love the conversations on spirituality, but because I'm more into activism, I tend to you know, focus more on the physical side. And I don't know if it's that women are don't have a role spiritually, because I believe we always do, and I don't believe also that anyone in patriarchy can tell us what our role is. But it's like trying to bring the spiritual and the physical and try to mix them together. It's just like for women, and, you know, I can even speak about myself at times past, we just cannot seem to do that very well. We seem to go either on one side or the other side. It's like we're all spiritual or we're just more so physical, but the balance seems to not be there. And it's evident in our communities because, you know, especially if we're messing with certain men that we know spiritually we should not have, but because, you know, we're hot physically and we do it and then we end up with children and are upset and stuff and we want to blame everybody else or cry on the sister's shoulder, but we just did not integrate the two. So when I see, you know, and I love the whole conversation, but when I see women or I love to hear women talk about the role in spirituality, sometimes I wonder if we are really meshing the two or if we are just focusing more on the spiritual side and just leaving the physical out instead of, you know, trying to find a way to incorporate both of them.
Okay, so who want to go first? I would like to.
Okay, Lady Phoenix.
I just want to say something really quick. Looking at our genetic bloodline and understanding that, that women, you know, gave birth to civilization, and which means that, you know, we were at the head of all cultures. The indigenous cultures have always, incorporated those two things. The problem with how we're living now is that no one has a sense of culture anymore, and we are grossly influenced by other cultures and other standards of living. You understand where I'm coming from?
Right.
In other words, if we were walking in, you know, or coming from a true community way of living, you know, and culture, then it would be easy for us to understand that there is no separation between spirit and physical living. How the indigenous cultures set up their homes, how they built the homes even, where they would do the cultivation of the land and for the food, the animals, the children, how the children were raised, all of that had, you know, was all spiritual aspect. But it was a spiritual aspect in such a way that they did not have to term it spiritual. They didn't have to term it sustainable living or green living or conscious living. You understand? Because it was just how things were.
Right, and that brings me to my other question then, because we are reared, men and women, raised in a patriarchal society. So our culture is not void, but our culture is kind of lost in the mix. So then this opens up a whole other can of worms. If she doesn't know her culture, if she doesn't study goddess, because I can talk to women about goddess all the time, and some of them think that I'm crazy with some of the stuff that I say, because I have very radical views about matriarchy and patriarchy. But I don't know. Sometimes I get kind of disheartened because even in my own life, I don't know how to at all times mix the two, because every day I'm finding out what I thought was right is wrong. The great mother just usurping all this stuff.
And to be honest with you, it's gonna vary per person, because you have a lot of different ideas of how, you know, people have different ideas as far as how we should live. So, for example, even with what's happening politically, everything that we're dealing with in politics is all based upon, the fruits of Mother Earth. And it's all about the inheritance, basically, you know, the indigenous people's inheritance. That's the things that are being sold as commodities.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we're dealing with what we're dealing with in politics. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, what's happening with the land, because the land itself is an entity. It belongs to no one.
Right.
It's an entity. It's a spirit. So what I'm really saying is that there really is no separation, but this is how they interjected that way of thinking in order to get the people to behave in a certain manner. Okay, so now you have the different women that became a part of different religious aspects. Yes, majority of us did come up in Christianity, or, you know, some of us, you know, were in the Islam or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, with each and every one of those, it really did set aside or, excuse me, that's not the word I want to use. They shut down the feminine aspect altogether. And by them shutting down the feminine aspect altogether, the trueness of who we are and how we're supposed to be as a people was lost.
And that's why it's really interfering with people as far as how they're supposed to be. So here you got the sister getting with the brother, and she in church one minute she feel like she should get with him, the next minute she shouldn't. But then if she get with him, she feeling like, you know, she doing something wrong. He's losing respect for her because maybe she's not following up with her beliefs, and I understand that. But at the same time, it still has a lot to say with what's influenced her, you know, on a societal level with her family and with everything, and these are the things that we're dealing with.
Right.
So that's why it's coming
down
to each one to say, okay, so what is it you want to do right now?
And it's
you
got to
follow what you hear. You got to follow what you hear. You know what I mean? And that's what's going to bring you back. Like all of us that are here on this show today, there was something that we heard inside of us, inside our physical bodies, inside our physical homes, inside our physical vehicles.
Right. And then you just touched on something else. And that's why for me it's just so pivotal in trying to integrate the two, because even though she's a Christian, just even in the quote-unquote conscious community, there are many sisters that, you know, and I'm not for or against, you know, polygyny, but there are so many sisters that are into that, dual homes, and then there's still sisters that get burned in all of it. And it's all because we are trying to integrate some type of culture in this patriarchal system, but at the same time, women are the ones that take the blunt end of it. We take the blunt end of it because if he decides on leaving or he decides on going, she still has it. So that's why for me, even in my life or in the life of other women that I talk to all the time, I really like to talk about how to integrate the two, because it seems like we're just grabbing stuff, saying this is who I am, this is my culture, this is my culture, tapping spirituality on it, and still, you know, the womb is still sick.
Well, can I say something? I mean, I know I'm a...
Go on, say it, girl.
As one of the younger queens on the phone, I will say this much. I think what we do, and I've seen this mistake happen on several occasions, that we come into consciousness and we come into our right mind and our righteous mind with leftovers or residue of the things that we did before. So we try to pick up on consciousness, but we're still holding on to that crazy stuff. You know what I mean? We want to step out of the matrix, but we're still holding on to, you know, the way things were before we came this way. So by disconnecting the spiritual and the physical right there is holding on to, you know, it doesn't have to be integrated. It is one experience. It is one thing. So by healing your spiritual, you heal your physical. By tapping into your spiritual, you heal your physical. You understand better. You understand things. And I've seen a lot of people that have come into consciousness and they still want to hold on to, you know, those things that they did before, such as Christianity or such as, you know, whatever have you. And then they come into, you know, learning about Kemet or, you know, spirituality or voodoo or Yoruba, and then they still want to put that other face on it. You know what I mean? I think they don't want to quite step away from their comfort zone.
You go, Empress.
I don't even know what to say.
You quiet fire, you. Yeah, because it's just for a hot minute, the baggage that we bring, like you were saying, you bring forth into, in quote, conscious living, that which you knew before. And it's very difficult sometimes to just let it go, because here we go into, again, you know, the soul retrieval, the recapitulation, the theta healing, the chanting in order to bring yourself into a wholeness, so that that other stuff is transmuted into what it really is, an essence of who your true nature is. Then you don't have that baggage where there's a need to integrate, you know, the physical and the spiritual, because they are truly one without the baggage.
Indeed.
They are truly one, and I'm going to interject a comment John Henry Clark made. He made this comment of, most indigenous practices, I guess he was referring to indigenous people and their culture. Spirituality was everything that they did. It was how they lived, how they came together, how they raised their children, how they built their homes, as the sister said earlier. We didn't have to call it anything. We didn't have to label it and call it Islam, Christian, or anything. We just did it. We just lived it. So I would assume that everyone on the line and most of the sisters and brothers who may be listening to this call, that's what we're seeking. We're seeking to get back to that where we don't have to call it anything. We just do it. We just live it out. We just be who we be, so to speak.
And that's right.
Where that practical application comes in.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's right.
Is there to lean on, in a sense, or that collective intent is there to move us along the evolutionary tree.
Mm.
Well, we have 5 more minutes in the show, so before we get too close to the end of that 5 minutes, I did want to thank all of the sisters that are on the line right now. I love y'all.
Love you too. Thanks for letting us come on here.
We're gonna have to do this again. We only do 2 shows a month, but and I have the next 2 shows for July booked up. So possibly, I don't know what everyone's schedule is looking like, but August I would kind of sort of like to get back on and continue this conversation, because what we're doing here, what our community needs, what other women need to hear. And this is the basis of how we're going to heal and get ourselves the way we need to be to do the work that we need to do in our communities, both physically and spiritually, even though it's all one.
Ashe.
Yes, ashe.
And I want to just add something on the word matrix. The archaic definition of the word matrix is the womb.
So we need to rethink what matrix is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. That's what's up.
That's another show.
Before we get off the line, I want everyone to give out their contact information for everyone who is going to be listening to the shows.
Okay.
This is Rude. Okay. At Sarud, Serud, at hotmail.com.
Okay, and you can go to wombshaman.com for Diva Mama Tanya.
Wombshaman.ming.com?
You can do that too. Womb Shamans. Okay. To join the group, it's wombshamans with an S, .ning.com.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
and this is Lady Phoenix. If anyone wants to reach out to me for anything, you actually have a new website being built that's going to show the practical applications. I'm so happy Saru talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Our new website is called Your Energy Wellness, and that should be up later this week. But for current contact information, you can go to Eternal Queen, and that's Eternal, and Queen is KWEEN.com.
Mm. Yes. Eternal Queen.
I like that name.
Thank you.
Everybody got quiet after that, Eternal Queen.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm like, what did I do?
No. I said, that's that name, sister.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Powerful.
And we want to thank you, Seek Wisdom, you goddess woman, you goddess Tara.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. I thought about that. That's right, goddess Tara.
Mm-hmm. And Empress Conspiracy.
Yes, I love that name.
Right. Conspire with spirit.
Serious.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, with you can read
spirit.
Us.
Say that again.
You can reach us here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/womniverse. And you can also reach us on the order of my yacht,
name.com. That's right.
And,
all right.
We're going to go ahead and, again, thank you, sisters, for coming on. Thank everybody in the chat room. I didn't expect as many people in the chat room. So I can't say thank you to you all, but Sister Natira, Queenie Fama, Nubian Charity,
Goddess Roundtable, Bird, the sister that called in, Mother Will, of course, is Sister Natira. Thank you guys, thank you goddesses for coming out tonight, today, this afternoon. I'm speechless right now.
It's a beautiful way to bring in the solstice, yay.
Yes. And I'm going to end us out with a song that's a tribute to all the goddesses on the line. So I will be looking forward to seeing you here on Black Twist when Diva Mama Tanya comes back with Womb Magic.
All right. I'm looking here for that. Love you, sisters.
Thank you. Bless your heart.
That I could paint you with words, but there were no colors bright enough, black or white enough, blue or green enough, it didn't mean enough. You are the star that touched the earth, shine bright for all eyes to see, radiated, touched me. Now I'm shining like you do, it was then before I knew you, bright light for weeping eyes to get used to. Trust who? That's some adjust to. Soon as you relax, they ease back and cold bust you. Love murdered in Brooklyn, sound the alarm, but you said remain calm, my passion is gone on. I tried to practice my warlike tactics, but in the clutch of your touch, my armor just collapses. Such bliss breeds obliviousness, so recollect sweet breath, still blood on my lips. My prayer is this, God protect my beloved, they keep a cover from the valley to the summer, like the land undiscovered, like the stars. They say that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. True. So I use my third, and now I love the solid like a boulder. Wanna build with you as I get older, and that's my word. Sure as I stand on my ancestor's shoulder. Yes. You see through my drama and my world like a sage. Not the same years, but living in the same age. It's the quality, not the quantity. Follow me? Definitely. Far from probably. Got to be. You and me, beautifully fit like pieces of a man I used to be. Now I'm black because of what you do to me. You like my reflection, better half to my whole. Like lyrics to the beat, you the mate for my soul, the breath for my life, my sister and my lover, used to have cold feet, now you the ones under my covers, I can't ignore your aura cause it grabbed me by the hand, like the moon pull the tide and the tide pull the sand. Smart, lovable, huggable, doable like art, suitable to be part of the cosmos. With my eyes closed, I see you clearly. Combine lifetimes of light, mind your love, light shine bright. The apple of my eyesight, the tender kiss that whet my appetite. My mighty Aphrodite, the flame that ignite me. Your name just excite me, your eyes so alive, they invite me. Cause you are so beautiful, you don't even know, no, the length I would go to make absolutely sure you is respected and protected and never neglected. I hope my prayers is accepted, that you always will be watched over and never rocked over. And if you need me to, I'll stop over to check on you. I never jet on you. I know a lot of foolish cats that slept on you, but what I'm gonna do is be totally committed. If you need me, I'll be hotter than the New York minute with 100% from the start to the finish. Cause the vibe that you give leave me so replenished. It's a new beginning, it's a serious business. Got my heart and soul in it, it's the way that I'm living. Let it be noted that the devoted is gonna always prevail. The newly risen, true and living, universal for real. It's like that. And you know what I'm saying?